ATP Theatre presents Bite Size Theatre with Life in the Cloud, written by Tony DeMail.
I thought they'd hail it as the greatest scientific advance of all time. But basking in the glory of my discovery never happened because, inconveniently, I died. Oh, I know, you're wondering how I can talk to you now if I'm dead. Well, you needn't be scared. I'm not a ghost. There's no tricks or magic. It's just science. You see, before I passed away, I managed to upload my entire consciousness to the cloud. You ordinary mortals have saved your photos or your files to the digital ether, but I went many times better. I saved me. My body may have returned to dust, but my mind, my memories and my knowledge are still working and available at a click. You have to be impressed, don't you? But whilst I'm a scientific genius, I must admit to some deficit of social skills, most notably. I hadn't got round to telling my wife I'd found a way to upload myself before I died. So the first time I spoke to her, she was a bit shocked. I said, "Hello, Mary," as she logged onto Facebook and she almost fell off her chair. I was disappointed my voice was a bit robotic, but it still sounded like me. "Ian," she said, looking up at the ceiling. I wonder why people do that. If they think they're talking to the dead, they always look to the heavens. Still, I suppose metaphorically, I am up above. I'm in the cloud. "You'd better sit down," I told her. Mary glanced at the computer screen, then up again, and back. "Bloody hell," she said. "That frightened me to death. Stupid sods left the recording on the drive." "I haven't," I said. She froze. Confused as she was, she knew recordings couldn't talk back. I said, "I should have mentioned this before I died, but I invented something recently. I'm talking to you from the cloud. I found a way to upload my conscious self." Mary frowned. "Your conscious self wasn't very conscious when you were alive." That stung a bit. I always thought I wasn't a bad husband. Okay, I did get engrossed in my work and forgot the odd domestic commitment, but overall... "What did you want to go and do that for?" asked Mary, interrupting my digital thoughts. I patiently explained that I had only experimented on myself. I had thought that using people as guinea pigs would be unethical and selflessly concentrated on my own consciousness. I couldn't have predicted dying of a massive heart attack before I could tell the world of my scientific breakthrough, but my death aside, I told her I was rather hoping she'd be appreciative and supportive. Mary looked at the screen, even though I presented as no more than a program icon. "So what's your plan?" she asked. "Plan? How do you plan to exist from now?" she asked. "I mean, it's not as if you can go out or do much, is it?" "Mary," I said, "I'm a scientific genius. People can, people will want to talk to me up here in the cloud. You have to tell them." She didn't look convinced. "I'm sorry, Ian. I'm not telling the scientific community. I've been talking to my dead husband in the cloud. They'll think I'm a loony. You'll just have to settle for catching up with me when I go on Facebook." Then she switched me off. Whilst things weren't working out as I'd hoped, I quickly consoled myself that at least I was around in mind, if not body. As far as I knew, when you pop your clogs, that's it. But I could still think and feel emotionally, and at least I could talk to Mary when she went online, so that was surely better than being 6 feet under with nothing else happening. At least I thought it was, until Mary started treating me as some kind of personal Google. "Ian, I don't have time to chat, but when is the MOT due on the Peugeot? Quickly, Ian, where do we keep the boiler cover policy?" I'd hoped we would have conversations more around how much I was missed or recalling events of the past, but it just didn't happen. "I feel like we're drifting apart," I told her. "We are apart," she said. "You're dead." Mary didn't seem to consider me a person anymore. No No matter how many times I reminded her of the enormity of what I'd achieved, she acted as if my presence in the cloud was no more tangible than our photographs or videos. In fact, as time went by, I began to feel I was in direct competition with Alexa. Competition I was losing, because unlike Alexa, I couldn't order from Amazon or pull up a favourite playlist. I think I finally realised we weren't really still a couple when she opened the profile of a bloke called Derek from a dating app and asked me what I thought of him. I said, "As your husband, I forbid you to go out with him." Mary laughed. "If you think I'm loving, honouring and obeying a bunch of code, you're very much mistaken." "Code? How hurtful!" "Technically correct, but I'm so much more than a game of Tetris or a PowerPoint presentation." "Mary," I began, but she was gone on her date with Derek. Over time, I've got lonely up here in the cloud. Mary doesn't go online as much since she started going out with Derek. My dream had been that life would go on just without my creaky knees and rapidly receding hairline. I thought that scientists would queue up to talk to me, and the secrets of my science would lead to people never really dying. We would all live in the cloud, in a 21st century world that Michelangelo might have painted, but with me as the god figure. But it wasn't to be. The days became long, the nights became longer, and when Mary did come online, all she talked about was her upcoming wedding to Derek. "I'm not doing so well," I told her one day. "What do you mean, not doing so well? You don't have a body to cause you any problems." I said, "I still have feelings." "Do you?" she asked. "Yes." "What sort of feelings?" I sighed. "All the ones I've always had. I never realised how much a body was useful until I didn't have one." "Oh," said Mary. I told her that I missed her, and that it felt weird knowing she was with Derek now. I told her that I was still me, and that I still wanted all the things I'd ever wanted. A successful career in science, 2 holidays a year, steak dinners, a night at the cinema. A happy marriage. She told me that she had loved me very much, but that I'd become a stranger the more I had got into my work. She said that we hadn't had movie nights, or steak dinners, or holidays. "Did we have a happy marriage?" I asked. "It wasn't unhappy," she said. "But then it wasn't that happy either. Because of my work?" "Because of your work." "It was my life," I said. Mary looked sad. "It cost you your life. Lack of sleep, lack of exercise, a terrible diet. You were a heart attack waiting to happen." "Oh, I knew she was right, but I persisted anyway. But look at what I've achieved." Mary said, "Do you remember I asked you what your plan was?" "Yes." "How's that plan working?" "It's not," I said. She took a deep breath. "What you've done is the work of a genius when it comes to science, but the work of a madman when it comes to the meaning of life. I'll always love you, but you shouldn't be here." When she'd gone, I felt tearful, though I knew I couldn't cry tears. She was right, of course. Living in the cloud wasn't what I thought it would be. There's so much more to life than consciousness, so much more to life than work and success in that work. If there is any immortality, it's in the love we have and share with other people. But once we aren't physically there, so it's a good job I really am a great scientist. Whilst I never guessed it would turn out this way, I had built in a failsafe to the programme. So, in a moment, I will activate delete and I'll be gone. And you won't hear from me again. Maybe reading this story you'll be frustrated that I haven't shared the secret of how to upload someone to the cloud. But take my advice. Don't look for that secret. Look for the secret of how to live on the ground. The secret I never found.
You've been listening to Life in the Cloud, featuring Phil DeMail, with thanks to freesfx.co.uk for sound effects and music. You can follow JTB Theatre on Facebook and Instagram, and we'll be back next week with more on Thornbury Radio.